Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions. Good evening and welcome to the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Podcast Collaboration Questions Podcast 2024. Gets longer each week because I keep on stuffing it up. I'm your host, Stuart Lord, and I'm joined tonight by Belent from the Fantasy Amateurs. How you going, Belent?
Very good, very good. Happy to be back on.
Excellent, mate. Well, look, you survived another week. I'm not Ricky Stewart on this podcast, so, you know, most people are safe week to week here. Mitch unfortunately just pulled the Jack White and he's gone off to the Roosters apparently, so he's not with us, but we do have what are you in this one? You're probably Jamal Fogarty in this one, Nick. Sort of bit slow, not always around, but still racking up the fantasy points. How you going?
What it do, baby? Mate, that's insulting. I'm not Jamal Fogarty. I'm Billy Kickow tearing it up.
Billy Kickow. Fair enough, mate. Excellent. Well, I guess just quickly, guys, like, how did we go this week? So, look, I had a decent week for once, but I think that's fine. The Roosters fired. How about you, Belent? Tough week, good week?
I was average, but I was sort of expecting it just with what I had and the trades I had to make. But it was all for the greater good, really, because this week I'm making some pretty big trades with all the cash that I banked from last week. So I always knew that last week was going to be a bit rough. To see, I was probably going to fall behind the pack a little bit more, but it was all with a view for this week and the coming weeks after. So happy days.
Oh, mate, if you're setting yourself up, there's no issues with taking a hit for a couple of weeks to set yourself up, right?
Yep, exactly.
How about you, Nick? You have a good week?
Mate, I'm climbing the ranks. I was 120,000, right? Just to be put this into context. I'm now 15,000. So I'm coming for you. Watch out.
Trust the process, right? We say this every year. Even if you get it wrong, trades. The process will... but also get yourself in the right posse. So
yep.
I like it. Unfortunately, Nick, I think you're being towed up by both our mum and also Rob, who is now ahead of you. So
I think I passed him, didn't I, last week?
I don't know. On the rankings ladder, we'll have to have a look there because he had a pretty good week. So we'll come back to that here at home. Rob's my brother who I set up in about, 15 minutes before the start of the first game of the season.
Is he a veteran? Does he play a lot? Or
No. First time. I set up his team with him in about 15 minutes of he only played draft before this year, but he's doing well. So
okay, I'm 4 points ahead of Rob, and I'm 24 points ahead of Mum. So I'm sniffing you at the moment. I'm right. I can smell you, and I don't like it. All right, so I've got to get past you.
I like it. 4 points. Yeah, you're right. You're living at large there, mate. Excellent. All right, let's have a look this week. We got heaps of questions. So, look, let's get to one of the really big ones this week, which is Corey Waddell. So basically, with Ben Trbojevic out, grade one hamstring, 3 weeks, most likely possibly 4, because Burbo's got that long history issue. Simon Jones kicks us off this week saying he wants to yeet Fini Fuaki and get Corey Waddell. So I guess, guys, what are you thinking about Waddell's prospects here? Like, Belent, has he been in your squad yet this week?
He hasn't. I've definitely had thoughts about it, but it was definitely dependent on how long that Burbo was going to be out for. And I don't think that 3 weeks is going to be enough. It's going to be long enough. Maybe even 4. I don't even think his PPM on an edge is even that great. Anyway, as well, like, the DPP is pretty handy. They don't have any buyers up until round 13, I believe it is. Round 13, I think it is.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it's sort of, I mean, you're probably going to be trading him out round 13 anyway, aren't you? Really, when Burbo's back. So it's probably a no for me. There's probably better options around.
Mm. Yeah, no, it makes some sense to me. I'm having a look at his scores from last year because the Dogs were better last year. I'm ignoring like his 2022 and 2021 stints on an edge because I'll be honest with you, the Dogs were wretched, right? Mm. So looking at 2023, averaging 44.6, 0.3 try scoring rate doesn't seem absurd. There is a 7 in there against the Titans where I think he got injured because he was out for 12 weeks after that. I think that's where he got annihilated last year, something like that. But
do an arm or something like that? I think he broke something, right?
Yeah, he injured himself pretty badly because he was not back for 12 rounds. So, but he came back with a 53, 69, 45. So if we're taking that 40 average, he's priced at 30, 44 average, 3 weeks. You will make 100K if he gets 44.
Yeah, that's if he gets 80 minutes as well, though, right? Because, I mean...
70, to be honest, 75 or
so. Yeah. So Jerbo's probably playing 80, and you got two mids on the bench, a bench hooker, and a bloke that can play middle and edge as well. So I don't even know if he's going to be playing 80.
That's true. Let's just have a quick look at that one, because obviously they were injury affected last week. I'm just having a look at that bench, because this one's an important one this week. I don't just want to blow by it like I normally do. Yep. Where I'm just like, yeah, get him or don't. Bullimore, Woods, Nathan Brown and Aaron Woods aren't quick enough to play in the middle, let alone the edge. So it's Carl Lawton has really been playing a lot of interchange hooker more than anything else.
Yep.
So he hasn't really been playing much edge. So really it would be Bullimore with a Bullimore pick.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and looking there, it might take 5 minutes off Olakau'atu, but yeah, you're possibly right there. So look, if Waddell 60 minutes, yeah, you're probably not going to make your money. If he gets 80, you possibly will. So I guess put that into your matrix. The other half is here is we've got Blake Willison, who is playing for, he's coming off a great game where he scored that try by basically, he slam dunked the ball. Did you watch that game, Nick, the Broncos game?
Who did they verse again?
Oh, mate. Oh, dude, quality podcasting here.
Holiday. I was the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
I've just been on holiday. I barely watched anything.
The Battle of Brisbane. Well, basically, he just slam dunked the ball over the line because he's that tall. He was about 5 metres out, and he came up with a 56 in 41 minutes. So he's kind of producing really good PPM at the moment. He's up 100K so far. Got a break even of -4. Issue is Haas is back over the next little while, as is Piakora. So where are we thinking about Willison? Valent?
It's a bit shaky, I guess, with Piakora coming back and Haas as well. I'm guessing you'd assume that Saylor probably drops out. Maybe Smoothie. I'm not too sure. It's probably going to be Saylor, right? Because Walters isn't an 80-minute dummy.
Well, half. The issue is that they've the boss has said that they really do want to keep an outside back utility on the bench. And I think that's because they got sprung really badly when they lost Walsh.
So who's dropping out when Haas and Piakora are back then?
That's a really good question. Well, look, I think Corey Oates was that bench spot because he could play a little bit of edge.
Yep.
So, but obviously he's coming to the main squad because of the injury to Dane Mariner. So, but who I think is he back? Is he somewhere in the 23 after that spinal fracture? I think he is. So I reckon that it could be Corey Oates to that utility spot.
So you're saying they're going to carry a utility and a dummy half and then two fours?
I think so, because, well, you got Carrigan playing, what, 65 plus 70? And then when Haas is back, he plays 65. So it's really who survives on the bench. So if you look at this, where you got Smoothie, Saylor, Kobe Hetherington, Xavier Willison, I reckon that Smoothie and Saylor might make it. It's just whether Willison drops off once Haas is back, and I think that he may.
Yeah, because you'd assume that Hunt goes to the bench then, right? Because he's been starting.
Yeah, or Hunt drops out entirely, and like Fletcher Baker goes back to the bench unless he gets dropped entirely because he's been pretty rubbish.
Do you think the fact that there's all these scenarios that we're just spewing out at the moment probably means that he's in a void?
I think so. There we go. I think we've reached the answer there, which is that there's a whole bunch of scenarios where Willison makes you no money, and there's what, one or two where he does, which is Haas is out for longer than we expect, or someone else gets busted, correct?
Yep, I totally agree with that.
Easy. So look, mate, they're both risks, Simon. I think that Willison's a better player than Waddell. Willison's the guy of the future who they've been absolutely fighting on, whereas Waddell is the guy who couldn't make it at the Dogs. So take your pick. Kyle Taylor asked, need to trade Levi and Hutchinson, has 140K on the bank on top of these guys. So Levi is about 350, and Hutcho is 450. He's got 140K. So we're talking about 940,000. Who would you guys be really wanting to bring this week? Who's the top trade targets? Nick, is there anyone on your list?
I think Iro has to be at the top of the list. Maybe followed by someone like Tom Chester. and or Angus Crichton, depending upon your positional needs.
I like those. And you can probably do any of those three in any combination within that price range, correct?
Yeah, I'm guessing so. Yep.
Yeah, quite easily, I think.
Easy. Is there anyone else that you put into that category, Blunt?
Well, I'm bringing in Gus this week for sure, because I got on Biro last week, and to be fair, that DPP from that Chester got is pretty handy as well. But I'm actually looking at maybe taking a bit of a throw at the stumps with Mariota from the Raiders. I've been talking to our Raiders guy, and he seems pretty bullish. He was actually real bullish on him in the preseason as well, and seems to think that he's still going to have quite a decent role there as a PPM guy, 340k. So I'm maybe looking at him. That just depending on if we're getting more Cleary news or not. But I don't think he's a bad shout either at the price.
I like that. Mariota looked pretty good when he was playing, so I was keeping an eye on him. So I do like that as the third option there. So look, I probably make sure that you got Iroh, Chester, and Angus Crichton, and then maybe, you know, you can then at that point start to look around at Mariota or Chevy Stewart or someone like that. I don't know.
I think that if you don't have Gus now, I think you have to get him this week. I honestly think he's must have.
He's a stud. He looked back, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He really did. Yeah.
That leg drive? It was insane.
Yeah. He's back. He is looking proper Angus Crichton. Like the sort of one where you go, you want this guy in Origin, because you know that he's just going to absolutely pump whatever half that he's up against. They're not going to have a fun night.
We don't want him to play Origin though, do we? But
no.
I mean.
But as a New South Wales fan, I do.
Yeah.
He's a killer. Just smash dudes all night. All right. Simon Jones asked, there is Waddell and Fuller a buy? So Trey Fuller has come out this week. He's 425k. He's filling in for the Hammer, who will be out for a number of weeks with that hamstring injury. Look, I'm having
grade two. Grade two, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks to be like it.
So what's that, 4 weeks?
4 or 5, I think.
It's four to no, it's three also for grade two. It can be up to like 8 weeks with a grade two. 6 to 8.
Oh wow.
So the I'm just gonna double check on that. So yeah. Mild to moderate can heal between 3 to 8 weeks. So yeah, it's
Round 11. Round 11's what the casualty ward says.
So fair enough. 4 weeks.
So look, I think they're being a bit aggressive on that one. If it's a grade two. So look, Trey Fuller, 425k. I think that unless he absolutely comes in and brains it, I wouldn't be getting on. 425k for a guy's got what, a 4 week window priced at 30. Even if he gets 40, right? The one good score that he had against the Dolphins was against the Tigers last year, and he was awful. Tigers were awful. So if he gets 43 weeks in a row, you're up to 466k. Like, that's a no for me. Anyone disagree on that?
No, it's not worth
it. Yeah, for 425k. If it was 230, you could sort of make the argument, oh, he'll get some run in Origin when Hammer goes to play for Queensland, but because the Dolphins play all three of the major bye rounds, but unfortunately, 425 is just too much money, I think.
Ugly as. Now, one for you, Belent. I asked you this one before the podcast. Besides Chevy and Iroh, is there anyone sub 350k worth a look? Or I think we changed the sub 400k.
I just gave it away before. Mariota was definitely one of them. I think he's 343.
Nice.
Let me just have a quick look. And honestly, apart from that, I had a quick look before and there's not much else.
341, yep. And having a look at the most traded in this week, it's all these other guys with just absolute risk on there. So look, Xavier Wilson, he's got a break even of -4 this week. There is money to be made with him if he plays well. But it's, you know, does he beat like some of these guys like Kobe Hetherington or Fletcher Baker to that one of those couple of bench spots? Who knows, right? Like, it's all risk. You could be trading him out. He didn't play the first two games this year. And looking at the other guys, Tom Chester's the other guy that came to mind. So
he's not sub 350 though, is he?
No, he's 377 this week, but he's sub 400. So he's close enough that I'm going to count him.
Yep.
Awesome. Jimmy Ross. Looking at trading Burbo to Schiller and Finifuaki to Angus. Are these good trades, Nick?
No, I think Finifuaki is named again this week, and his break even is 22. So I'm not sure I'd just move off Finifuaki yet. I think he's still got another week or two.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of agree there. Like, coming off, he got a 33 last week. He's not been stellar in his run.
No.
40, 26, 29, 33. Right? Yeah, that's it. He could get a try this week. But he's not a high PPM guy. But I guess, look, he's looking to get in Angus, I guess. I'd probably just trade Berber to Angus at this point, wouldn't you?
That's what I would do, yep.
Because the other news is that Schiller at some point will likely get cut because he's now signed with the Knights.
Yep.
So, but look, 365K, he has a break-even of 2. He does have a longer run, though, because of the Rapana is going through that meniscus repair. So we will see him out for a number of weeks. So,
But Hopewadi's still to come back, though, right?
That's true. Oh, yeah, he must have bent his hand really badly.
Yeah.
Well, that must be like a second degree burn or something like that. It must be nasty.
What do you do? Did he do it in the... Was he playing with fireworks or something? Or?
I don't know. He probably tried to pull out the chicken tendy out of the oil. Who knows? A bit too hungry. Get out those nuggies. All right. So, Jimmy, look, we'll talk about all the other good trade things during this week. If you already got Iroh and Chester last week, mate, you're killing it. So you're probably doing better than we are, mate. So well done to you, Jimmy. Rich Martin, if Cleary isn't named, this is a great question, guys. If Cleary isn't named, is it justifiable to get rid of him? They'll say they'll reevaluate next week, which doesn't inspire confidence. So basically, an article came out where Ivan said, look, he's doing some teamwork, but he's not fully back. And until he's back for a full week, they're not going to play him. So, for you guys, is Cleary a sell this week? He's a hole for me because I've got so many other, well, not so many other issues this week, but I really want to get rid of Hutchinson. I've got Burbo and some other people I want to get rid of. So, how about you guys?
Before I read that article that was posted like 3 hours ago, I was definitely in the holding Cleary column. Because it just seems stupid, right? Just hold him for this whole time just to get rid of him now with the possibility of him back next week. But I'm not going to lie, that article did not fill me with confidence at all. But at the same time, because I've got so much money in the bank, I don't even know what I would do with that money anyway. So, that's it. I'm still holding him.
Yep. Nick, are you a holder?
No, I don't have Cleary, but I agree. There just isn't a clear option to go to necessarily. Like Nico chucked up a 50 this week, so
well, that's exactly you got. That's like exactly right. Yeah, because I'm actually going Paddy Brown Carrigan over Hines.
Or someone else. Yeah, yep. I don't mind that at all. But assuming you got a good captaincy option, then yeah, I don't think you need to go to Hines necessarily. He could keep dropping cash.
Yep. No, I gotcha.
I don't even think Hines' ceiling is even that great this year. I think it's like 60 odd.
He's kicking, unfortunately. He kicked less meters last week than Trindle did. I get a feeling that they've effectively switched the two roles around this year. Trindle's playing the 7 and Nico's playing the 6, sort of attacking more towards the line.
Yeah, because Hines, in all reality, he's just not a great general play kicker. So
no, and it allows him to be more the second phase guy with the attacking, which is where he's better suited to. So
playing to his strengths, yep.
That's it. I think it's smart coaching. But the other thing is, I'm just having a look at this squad, is that if you look at his Nico scores, it's 70-50, 70-50, you know.
Actually, there are a few 70s in the air.
Yeah, so 70-50. So we could be due another 70 this week. We could all be eating our words. But that makes him a 60 average. Which is around where he's priced.
What if I told you that Nico's main downside this year compared to last year is, in fact, his attacking points are down, not his base, which is up by 2 points, and his kick meters are around the same as last year. But
he's down on attack. He hasn't been looking as good in attacking. Do you reckon it could be that lower leg injury he was carrying is down a little bit of speed?
Man, I really haven't watched any Sharks games, to be honest. Not for a couple of weeks, but
I saw him.
Just looking at the numbers.
They haven't been dumping off as well, like, or attacking wide on the outside. So
they've been busted and Nakora suspension and Talakai and I don't know. It's just all over the place, really.
Mm.
You can get Brown for 200K less and he's averaging less than 2 points, less than Hines.
Fair enough. So. Yep. Well, that's, I'll be honest with you guys, if you're listening at home, that's what I'm, part of the reason I'm not trading Cleary is I'm getting Brown this week just by trading like a couple of guys like Joe Chan, Burbo and Hutchinson, picking up two cheap as him. So like,
nice.
Yeah, if you have these cheap guys to go and pick up, I pick up them this week. I'd leave Cleary alone because it will be so hard to find the money again to get him back. If you have no problems in your squad and you're really punching for that top 500 position, go ahead. Sound about right? Sound fair from our discussion?
Yep.
Excellent. Guy Spencer's still, and we'll probably do this as the last Cleary question. If you're selling Cleary, what are the top three players you would target? So you mentioned Paddy, Nick?
Yeah, I think Paddy has to be has to be up there. I mean, Haas is due back next round. So, unfortunately, I think you've sort of missed that train.
So, who would you target this week?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, SJ or... No, actually, Isaiah Yeo. So, he only has the three Origin buys for the rest of the year. I know they might give him the rest or two. But if he comes into a reduced minute role in Origin, then he may not get the rest after Origin. So, I think Isaiah Yeo is actually a really good shout as a keeper for the rest of the year. Or the other one's Jermaine Hopgood, who's still playing really well despite... sort of being all over the place, I think, minutes-wise, right?
Yeah, certainly coming in and performing. Is there anyone else you'd add to that conversation, Blint?
I think it also depends on, like, overall as well, right? If you're overall a head-to-head, I think Warriors players are pretty bad for overall. They just don't play. I think they're missing two of the major buy rounds, I believe, or might even be all of them. I can't remember.
13 and 19,
Yeah, okay. And 19's already a bloodbath, right? So... I'm not too sure about.
It is,
I'm not too sure about SJ, although he does look really good. If you're head-to-head, I'd definitely pick up SJ. Plus, probably not overall, but yeah, there's no one else. I mean, Dylan Brown's still a really good option for mine. Isaiah Yeo, definitely great option. You probably missed the boat on Fogarty, I guess, but I mean, he just keeps on shitting out 65 plus every week, doesn't he? So not really doing anything either. So
yeah, he had one bad week and people were like trying to get off him, but he's performing, right?
Yeah, eating my words.
The last guy that I'd say there is possibly Harry Grant. He's already down one bye this year. He will only play probably 40 to 50 minutes per Origin game, so he will likely be able to back up pretty successfully in the other games. And they have buys on two of those Origin rounds, again, the 13-19. So you will be able to use him as a keeper with only three games missing.
Yeah, I think he only missed one game through Origin, right?
Yeah, that's it. And he copped, like, I think one or so off the bench, but he still did pretty well.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so that's the theory part done. So Cody Pulov goes trade Burbo or Talangi to bring in Iroh.
Burbo. Oh, no. We're thinking Talangi's going to drop money because his break-evens...
He's likely to get 6 minutes 13. Off the bench.
Yeah, that's what Mark and Ryan and Rob were suggesting overnight. And I can't disagree. I just don't know. They're not going to sub him in a half time. So I think Talangi's really got to go, right? He can use Burbo at least as a loop, right?
Hold on. I missed all of that. Sorry. What?
So Cody Pulov is asking whether they should trade Burbo or Talangi to Iroh.
Oh, right.
So yeah, Talangi, even with a break, even a 13, could lose money, you know?
Yeah. Look, I do understand that. So, look, if you don't believe that Talangi is going to find the spot, I'm keeping Talangi one more week because I think that Morgan Harper is awful and he's likely to prove his stripes this week, right? Stuff it up and then we'll have Talangi back at centre. But, look, we'll find out next week. If he loses, he'll lose a little bit. And Cody, yes, he's saying trade Murray to Pat Carrigan. Yeah, you can, I guess. It's probably a bit late, but you can still do it. And Sivo to Angus Crichton. Yes, that is the easiest trade this week. Sivo scored a double in reserve grade last week. Still isn't even back in the main team, so Sivo is a 100% sell. All right, Nick.
Murray to Carrigan's pretty sideways, by the way, just quietly.
It is, except you get an extra game between now and Origin.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
It's
not worth the trade.
Yeah, it depends on when you're looking to sell Murray, because Murray is going to drop at least a fair chunk of cash over the next couple of weeks due to that HIA effect again. So if you were going to sell him, planning to sell him before Origin, it might be better to sell now before you start losing too much money.
I don't know if they'll be trading him to Carrigan though with Haas due back next week, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think
Find a better trade.
I think that Carrigan's minutes will still remain relatively high now that that the coach has come out and said that he wants to carry some sort of utility who can also play in like the outside backs in the game. There will be more minutes for both Haas and Carrigan this year. I'm not saying Carrigan's going to get 80 each week, but I reckon he's going to be closer to 70 than 60.
Man, if I was trading up Murray, there's probably only two mids I'd be trading to, and it'd be Yeo and Haas, a fit and healthy Haas.
Or Hopgood.
Or Hopgood, yeah.
It's true. Hopgood's got the better run, but he does have a bye coming up, so you don't trade a guy who's on a bye for a guy who's got a bye in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. All right, moving on. Zion Kohu goes, he's got Totola, Chan, and Talangi. Yep, who Talal is busted with his foot. Chan's named on the bench, Delaney's on the bench. To Iroh, Foran, and Chester. So I guess this is the last guy, Belen, that is a bit of a sneaky guy in there in our cheaper players. Kieran Foran, 394K, coming off a 70, obviously in Golden Point. What are we thinking about him?
I think there's definitely potential for 10 points of value. I just think that it's absolutely wrought with risk. Like, Dez seems pretty happy to just swing the axe whenever he wants. So, like, Tanner could be back next week, could be back the week after. Like, we all know that Foran's busted as well. In saying that, I've also said that about two other players, and they've gone on to average 60 and 65 this year. So I'd probably just discount that. But I'm not against it, but I myself, I can't do it just because I've been there once before and it was absolutely painful. If you want to do it, I wouldn't stop you from doing it.
Yeah, look, I don't know about you, Nick. Like, Foran seems one of those players where, like, he could pick it up this week and he could go gangbusters again and you could be very happy with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, if he gets 45, if he gets 45 3 weeks from here, he goes from 394 to 525, like you made your money.
Yeah, but he could get busted next week, could kick in the ball too many times, like he'll do like a glute or something.
he's actually injured himself kicking before, which is, that's his primary role at the moment with Tanner out, right? So.
And also because they don't have the go forward, so he's just kicking long distance. In fact, let me just look into that game. I just want to see where the points came from, because
I think he kicked for like 600 meters.
661 meters, 37 tackles. Yes. So we have 59 of his 70 points came there. Only missed three tackles.
He's a pretty solid defender.
Two try assists. And the try assists, look, Foran can produce some good try assists with some good ball pass. Two line break assists, one kick defusal. And 31 meters run. So at least he's not going to do a hammy.
He'll take the ball into the line, he'll get hit, and then he'll be out. So I don't know. I'm the biggest Fozzer supporter probably ever. And nah, I just don't think I can do it just on that alone.
Look, I think the last thing for me about Foran will be if you go to his profile on the official NRL fantasy site, his shirt literally has lottery office in the bank smack in the middle of it. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're going down to the lottery office, you're buying a friggin' lotto ticket with Kieran Foran's name on there. It could come up trumps. There's what, about a 50-50 that it does? And if it doesn't, don't come crying to us, right?
Very spicy.
Very, I like it. Joe Watkins is talking about Cleary, officially out at round 7. Yep. Nathan Dixon is talking about Berber to Angus Crichton. I think we're just going to say yes to that all day. Okay, one for you, Nick, is Drew Hutchinson a sell, coming off a sub-20 score last week, is now losing money.
Yep, get him out.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm doing that too this week. I think it's just the scenario was right for Hutchinson to make money, but it looks like it's just not panning out. And the fact that Toby Sexton keeps on creeping closer and closer, like he started off at number 23, 22, 21, like he's now in like 19th or 18th man each week.
Like a 24 countdown.
That's it. It's basically, it's just for Hutcho to pull the finger out. Your Hutchison to Chester is a great move. And yes, Nathan, Murray to Ayo is not a bad option. Sean Mitchell goes Levi to Chester. Nick?
Yep, love it.
Excellent. Yep, me too. Mark Reed, Belent, is asking, how many trades have you used this year compared to last year?
I have saved, I think at this point last year, I hadn't saved any trades, but I've actually saved three so far this year, so I'm pretty happy with myself, because I actually go pretty trade heavy at the beginning of the year, and then I try to save them all for the back end, and it never works out. So I'm actually quite surprised this year that I've saved so many trades. Pretty pleased.
I like it. Nick, how about you?
I'm not going great. I think I've only saved two trades this year, when I think last year I would have saved five or six. So I didn't make trades the first couple of weeks from last year from memory. So
We got lucky on everyone last year, I think.
Yep.
First couple of rounds.
Yep. Now, you can look at it on footy statistics, I think.
Nice. I think I'm up two trades from last year, so I've saved four so far.
Nice.
Except I've just been playing catch up ball. Like, I didn't get rid of Kotrick week one and like round two and all the rest. I should have pulled the trigger. I wish I had spent more trades, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I could have saved a trade with by just not getting Talangi.
I think everyone in the world's thinking that right now.
Yeah. That seemed like the easiest trade at the time, though.
Yeah.
Like, it looked so good.
That was gold. Yeah, it was absolute gold, right?
Yeah, we just got to remember that Brad Arthur's probably playing for his coaching career. It's just that NRL 360's not talking about it yet because they've got Souths to feast on. After that, they'll be coming for Brad Arthur.
Yeah, I've actually heard nothing about anything Eels this year at all, have we? It's all been Souths.
Oh, the Souths have been that bad. It's one of those ones. Like, it's not like Dez. Dez has got time at the Titans, at least, because people know that they're bad and he's new. It's not like that with Souths. People think that they were, what, third or fourth favourites to win the comp this year before the season started? And
Don't even think I had them in my predicted top eight.
Yeah, I don't know. How about you, Nick? Have you been surprised by where the Bunnies are at?
Yeah, I think we were thinking they'd be better than last year because they were so bad last year. Just thought they were to get their stuff together, but obviously not. So, yeah.
They haven't even, they only recruited Jack Wyden as well, right? Who's a half playing in the centre, so...
Yeah, but a quality. He's been probably one of their best players.
He has been their best player, right?
Yeah. The issue is that, like I kind of mentioned in the preseason, was they didn't buy any middles and they've been kind of hemorrhaging and it's just been getting older and older. So Tom Burgess is retiring to England essentially next year to go play in Super League and he's their starting prop. So, yeah, a bit tough for them.
Yep.
Anyway, back to the questions. Gerald Ward goes trades. He's trained Jaden Campbell. Yeah, well, look, Jaden Campbell's a trade right, guys. 4 weeks knee injury, yes? Campbell to Stewart, Hutchinson to Brown, and Levi to Foran or Chester. I think all those sound pretty good, right? I'd probably pick Chester over Foran, unless you're absolutely desperate for cash though, right, guys?
I think I'd just go Chester regardless.
Yeah, because you know that he's going to play out the season because of the ACL, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you'll be able to hold on to him for longer than Foran, I would assume anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, any foreign injury is like a week-to-week thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Morgan Jones, assuming 21 green dots, how much cash is too much in the emergency spots of all four building cash? Mate, if all four are building cash and you got 21 green dots, you don't need to be asking questions, dude, like you're doing real well. Don't let them all make money. It's when they stop money that you hold cash cows, right, guys? It's like the farmer in like the Bible saying, oh, my barn is too full, right? Like it's overflowing with all these bounty. It's nothing to complain about. Awesome. So Sean Mitchell, been banking cash for 2 weeks, want to bring in a gun center and half. He's thinking Manu and SJ, so I'm guessing he's probably got, what, 1.5 million in trades this week.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. So look, what are we thinking about? Look, SJ is a buy because we haven't really mentioned him this far. Look, obviously head-to-head players, they've got a very friendly schedule. But overall players, what are we thinking on SJ? Is he back?
Oh, he certainly looks it. Mm. He's done nothing to suggest otherwise, right?
He's on the better team.
Well, that's true.
And the big thing for me is that with the injury to Metcalf, it looked like he was handing over some of the more of the responsibility to Metcalf, kind of like helping him to become a more developed player. But now with TMM there, he's just running the team around like last year, right?
Yep.
So I reckon he'll continue to do that for this year. He'll drink most of the milkshake, high 50s, low 60 average. So, but the other question is, Jerry Marty, now that he's back to the centres, is he a buy? Because Teddy's back this week. I'm a bit concerned about spending 700k on a centre. Is anyone else?
Yeah, no way.
I wouldn't be doing that. Just get Chester, dude.
Yeah, that's true. You do that and spend the money somewhere else, right?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. Matt Pittman says, is Chess the best replacement for Burbo? Yes, he probably is. His other sentence are Aitken, Ira, and Strange. So, yes, you're doing well. Any word on how long Campbell is out for? Ask Matt Pittman. Campbell is out for 4 weeks. So, mate, you probably want to trade out. Who's a good trade out option for Campbell this week? Nick, any thoughts on that one apart from Chester?
I was going to say Chester.
I'm looking for new gold from you, not pumping the same well.
I'm pumping the same well. Iroh, go get. I know he's already got Iroh. Look, I just can't recommend Stewart. I just haven't seen enough in the limited that I did watch of him. And he's just 18-year-old fullbacks just don't do that well in the NRL statistically. That's just history.
Unless your name was Reece Walsh from 2022.
Yeah. It was like 2021 or 2020. No, it was COVID ball, isn't it?
It was COVID ball. He was on track, loaned to the Warriors or whatever, left there. Having a look at it, yeah, I think...
I I was actually quite pleased with Stewart's performance, to be honest. He didn't make any mistakes. Ran for 200 meters. I don't think he did anything to. Well, he didn't do anything wrong by any stretch.
No, I agreed.
Yep. But he played a 90-minute game for 26 points, which concerns me. Like, Rapana did that on one knee, got a 34.
Yeah, like, no attacking stats or anything either, though, right? So, I mean, you'd have to assume that they'll eventually come as he gets proper integrated into the system.
Yeah, that's it.
And he's got, what, eight to 10 weeks to do it, so...
That's
but
true.
Then, like, he had zero errors, so, you know, you can always have those fullback games where you have four errors, right? And
yeah, that's true.
You know, you might not get the kick defusals and, you know, so, you know, whilst you might say he made no errors, well, you know, fullback.
But if he's just, usually. No, I agree. But if he's just cover, if he's just going to be a slow burn cash cow, I mean, it's not terrible, right?
No, not terrible.
Having a look,
he's just got limited runway, so you get him in. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a layup. Like, Chester, you go, okay, he's got the full year, round 16, DVP. Yep. Stewart's just like, okay, you know you got to get rid of it at some point. You mentioned yourself, Hopoade. You know, who knows?
Yep,
the other option is that you could wait a couple of weeks, like Matty. Depending on how much cash that you got, I'm just looking at Campbell here. Ruben Garrick's going to be a buy in about 2 weeks. Got a break in 79 this week.
Oh, I mean, but he could easily just score 79.
Oh, well, at that point, he's not a buy, right? Against the Goldies, he certainly could. But just say he gets the 50 this week, right? He'll break down to around 600 and, like, I'm looking here,
he'll drop like 30K, right? Something like that.
Yeah. So even if he gets a 50, he's going to drop like 50K next week.
Yeah.
So I reckon that you could even hold a week, just wait there. The other guy to look out for is AJ Brimson, playing six this week. May drink some of Foreman's milkshake a bit more effectively this week because he won't just be dropped in there last minute because Desi's pissed off. Also, Reece Walsh, dropping money like a stone, fellas, coming off that cheekbone. Break even of 67 this week, again, could do it. A couple more low-scoring weeks, he'll be low 500s. Is it too close to Origin to be thinking Reece Walsh?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll wait and see to see if he becomes under... Yeah, low 500s.
That's it.
Yep.
That's easy. Otherwise, it's just AJ Brimson's the only other guy. Like, he did look very effective when running through the middle against some wide forwards. All right. Tammy Dixon's going to clear now. So we talked about that one. Ram Stewart. Will Stewart hold the fullback spot when Rapana returns? Gut check. Nick, yes or no?
Look, I don't know. And it's anyone's guess. So, yeah, I really don't know. I don't have any gut. No guts.
Yeah, it's so hard to say. Like, there's just so many things that can happen. Like, Stewart could just absolutely play out of his skin. So it's really hard to say with that kind of timeline.
Yeah. Look,
there is a scenario. I think, just to be clear, there definitely is. So he's definitely not out, I don't think, you know.
Mm. Look, I think it's one for me where, listening to what Ricky said, Rapana was only ever temporary fullback position for these guys. So I would say that, yes, he's definitely a good chance at staying with Rapana back to wing and Schiller possibly out now that he's off to Newcastle.
I think we're going to find that Schiller's gone like next week when Hopoade's back. That's my gut check.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky doesn't mess around.
No.
Neither does Wayne, to be fair. Jamie Mark Geely goes, thinking of trading out Appy this week for Bloor.
Oh.
Look, I can understand being frustrated with Appy. I get it. I also get, like, if you're like me and you got three hookers. But, geez, Appy to Bloor. That's like a downgrade, isn't it?
I would say so, definitely. Especially with Chan on the bench as well. Like, Bloor's probably... I think Bloor's going to be like that 60-minute edge. Also, what is it with 60-minute edges this year? It's just... It's so frustrating. I don't think I've ever seen so many 60-minute edges ever in any NRL season. Like, from memory, I'm not sure about you guys, but yeah, I think in the long run, up he's definitely he's top three hooker, right? So he's definitely a keeper. I can't disagree with that trade. There's just no round where I could make that trade at all.
Yeah, look, I certainly wouldn't be selling to Bloor. Find a better outcome. Otherwise, this is a hard no from us. All right, Nick, I asked you a question before the podcast. You said you didn't have an answer, but I'm putting you on the spot. Is Murray a trade?
I don't think so, unless it's to someone like Yo, where you are going to get that extra game because Yo's already had the bye. I think if you get Carrigan, they've got the bye later in the year, so you don't actually get any more games. I don't think. Actually, no, that's wrong. Sorry, check that, because the Rabbitohs have their round 17 bye, so he will miss an extra
game. So it'll equal out with Carrigan.
It will equal out with Carrigan, yeah. So in that case, I'll just hold on to Murray. There you go.
Yep, Murray or an upgrade for me. Yep. Sounds like a great answer as well.
Yeah, Yo makes way more sense in a depleted side that's just leaning so heavily on him. Reduced origin minute role, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah, I just think Yo's a really solid buy, just in an area, or I should say a price bracket of uncertainty at the moment, you know?
That's it. And don't get sucked into looking down and seeing, oh, Joe Tarpane looks good. He always looks good for like three games. Every year he comes out, he absolutely brains it, and then Ricky's like, back to 52 minutes for you, sucker.
Yeah.
It's every year. It's like clockwork, and everyone gets sucked in. Now, I'm going to chat about one more guy who has kind of been jumping out of the skin a little bit, but no, in fact, we're not going to talk about it. I just had a look at Jake Dvorovic coming off a 71. It's like, yeah, but he's just been averaging 50 like he always does.
Yep.
Okay. Ram Harrington goes, is Gray, Jai Gray, a buy next round, or is it worth waiting for Latrell but missing two price rises? Blent.
Yeah, he's not a buy.
Depending on the news coming out of there, I think he actually could be, because they're talking about possibly, you know, Dimitri is obviously absolutely fighting for his career here. He's not quietly going into the night, right? He's dropping people. We're talking pretty seriously about dropping Latrell back to centre and letting Gray
I don't
play.
Know where I heard that. Was that on 360, or was that Dimitri himself say something about Jai Gray?
Dimitri said something about Jai Gray, saying that there's every possibility that Jai Gray stays, which is probably the right thing. Like, if someone, I'll put you this way, if someone asked Nathan Cleary whether, you know, if Edwards was out for 2 weeks, whether he's going to come back and play fullback, of course he's going to play fullback, right? So that's not the full compass of the board for Latrell, is it?
Not at all. Not at all.
From the coach. So with that in mind, I'm kind of thinking that you could probably take a punt on Jai Gray next week, depending on how he plays, right?
Yep.
He did look decent, didn't he? Better than Stewart. Anyway, for me, for my mind, what do you guys think?
Blint?
I didn't actually catch that game, to be honest.
Guys. He got a 39. This was including an HIA, so he only played for 68 minutes. So he got clocked. Right. He got clocked pretty heavily. And really, seven tackles. He got seven tackle breaks, but he's that type of guy, like real nuggety, but real quick. 172 meters gained, two kick defusals, no errors.
Yep.
So one offload to ground luck, which I think he just threw out the back there. So for me, I reckon that Jai Gray could very well be a buy. Let's just wait for another week of rumor mill.
Yep.
Ian Quilter goes seven to Bloor, or hold seven and maybe go Cotter to Bloor. He's already got KPP and Gus. I think that those are the two worst trades I've heard all night.
What's the Bloor infatuation?
I was just about to ask.
He's coming off a near 70. That's why.
So it's points chasing.
Well, that's the question for you guys. Is it points chasing?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it is too.
So, yeah, look, I think that possibly the Bloor train has left the station. So he's coming off a 70 last week. He's at 564K. He went up 38K last week. Essentially, people are looking like with KPP, you know, when KPP was taking off, it's like get on or lose out. That's what people are looking at with Bloor.
Yeah, the only thing for me, though, like Chan on the bench scares me.
Yep.
Yeah, because he can't play anywhere else.
Yeah, there wasn't an edge on the Knights bench when we were sort of suggesting KPP, right? So I think the situation.
Yeah, Lucas had dropped
different.
Out of the side in that week. Yeah,
I think he was a late in, and I think he played centre, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yep. All right. Sounds good there. So just, Bloor's not a huge win for me. And I definitely wouldn't be selling Cotter to go to Bloor.
Yeah, Cotter's not a sell. And I don't think Salmon's a sell either.
Cotter is around 13 sell for sure, but that's where I'm drawing the line on Cotter.
Yep.
Unless a mid shows up themselves early. Okay. Dominic Thompson goes, who to fill my 17th man? Finifuaki, Hughes, Sam Hughes, or Seb Chris? Nick?
Probably Finifuaki. Oh, let me check this dog team. Is Hughes going to get those minutes again?
Hughes is starting, so.
Okay.
Maybe he was starting 2 weeks ago, remember?
I was going to say, then again, he was starting last week as well, right? Then he got.
It'll probably be Curran starting. It'll be Steve Crichton at hooker.
You got Haywood and Taff, though, on the bench. So you'd assume that Hughes is going to get some decent minutes again, right?
Yeah. I'd probably go Hughes is unlikely to clock someone in the head this week, right?
Yeah, he was probably going to. Well, he had already played 40 minutes with a sin bin, right? So, I mean, He was probably going to play 45 to 50.
Yeah, agreed. I like it. 45. Yeah.
Okay.
He looked good.
He did. He really did.
Mm. All right. Let's move forward a little bit. And so we have Adam Sargent is asking about buy round targets. So origin and targets, teams and players. So I know I'm just having a look here, guys. Who are the guys that you have really picked up or are looking to pick up for that first lot of buy rounds, major and minor?
I reckon this is your time to shine, Nick.
Yeah, I think Ponga is definitely one of interest, a genuine gun captaincy option heading in. I mean, Origin's already kicked into hyperdrive about who's going to get what position and can they play Ponga and Bolsh. Will Ben Hunt get dropped? So I feel like it's probably a bit early to make that call, but I think, you know, based upon the balance of probabilities, I'd say Ponga's a really good buy. Hines, it looks like he could be the number six option.
Especially with Moses not around for the first game, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's calls for Jack Whiten to get back in, but, you know, Luai would make a lot of sense.
I still think Luai's going to get picked. I
have no idea, but I think it just makes sense to bring him in based upon, you know, them wanting to have cohesion and continuity, I suppose. You know, bringing Hines in, another playmaker altogether who hasn't played in the halves at all, just confuses things. So I think Hines and Ponga are definitely great targets. Reason I was banging on Chester for this reason, he's a DPP, really handy heading into round 13, particularly because some wing fullbacks aren't available, like Turbo and Paps won't be available heading in. Matty Burton's a good pickup. Kale Iroh's available as well.
Burton being available 13 and 16, or at least a dog's half, is very powerful. Same as anyone at the Dragons who's available are 13 and 19.
Yep.
But for me, there's a few guys I'm looking at. Obviously, any of the Sharks guys.
Cheese is the last one because he's at DPP hooker mid. So finding a good
available 13 and 16.
Tricky. Yeah, very, very tricky. Very tricky. Yeah. Round 19 is a bit harder, but 13 and 16 is very tricky.
The combination that I've got in my mind is the Eels have a pretty good buy round run because they only missed 16 out of the majors. And
so
then the minor at 20.
If you've got Lusky, you're holding him all the way through then, aren't you?
I'm definitely holding for 13. He's going to be my hooker for 13. Cheese is going to be in middle, assuming that he's extant. And then he also plays around 14, unlike the Roosters. So Lusick will again be my hooker because you're going to have all the Raiders and the Roosters in your side out that week. So Eels are a great counter to the number of those guys you have in your side. And they also, Eels play 19, and 19 is a massacre. So I look at them. The other one is Panthers, any of these guys who are dropping in price. So I'm looking at Scotty Sorensen. He is coming off a injury a little while back. He's got a few weeks off. He's got a very high break even. He's dropping price. And they play 13, the Panthers. So he will get some good points, I would reckon. When he gets good minutes, he's close to a 60 average. So I've got my eye and I've got a chuck to star on Scott Sorensen. Just looking him up this week, he is a 71 break even, 636K.
Yep. I'm just, I did a bit of work on this, working out which teams with around 13 targets. Okay, so Dolphins play all major buy rounds. That's a big tick. So plays rounds 13 and 16, you're looking at Bulldogs, Roosters, and Raiders, and the Cowboys as well, because their first buy is round 16. So Bulldogs have the round 15 buy, so they're in the round 19. So they're pretty OP Bulldogs, by the way. So your Currens, you know, Sam Hughes, I already mentioned Burton. So I think those are the teams to target.
It would be nice if Jeremy Marshall King picked himself up off the canvas, right?
It certainly would be. Who was I looking at as well? Max Plath. He's an interesting fellow because he seems to lock down that hooker, that 13
lock.
Spot,
yep.
lock spot.
Yep.
And so he certainly was of some interest to me because he's been playing pretty well for decent minutes.
He's a nugget, eh?
Yeah, he really is. And he's played some decent games too. So I reckon there's some value in Max Plath. He was like I need a middle, like under 550K, so you can't get current rate. These guys, Max Plath was my answer. Plus a half mid combo is insane.
I made a suggestion actually last week about Ewan Aiken and got slaughtered for it by Mark. But I mean,
I don't mind.
Is Lem ever coming back? Like, I know it's been, I just don't know if, I mean, Aiken's been playing pretty well. I just don't know if Lem actually just walked straight back into that starting side as well.
He did a bit last year, though, didn't he?
Got injured.
Yeah, he got into last year and walked back in.
Yeah, but Aiken was playing in the centres at that stage as well, right? So, well, I guess Farnworth is sort of dead as well, so he could always move there. But.
Yeah. Farnworth is due back around 9, so he'll be back around then. I'm just having a look if there's anyone else that we need to worry about in this particular squad.
Actually, slaughtered is the wrong word as well.
Yep.
I didn't get slaughtered for it, just didn't get the tick of approval.
look at you walking that one out.
Cuddle.
Oh, mate.
Well, seriously, though.
You need a Wayne Cuddle over that one.
Yeah, aww. Yeah. Look. I just don't think he's that bad an option.
Aiken round 4 was a buyer. I think now there's so much risk because you don't know who's going to come back. So Kafusi is around there.
Kafusi, yeah.
Yeah, this is the issue. So you got Kafusi hanging around. You've got like all these guys who are going to come back. If you look at the casualty ward, right, they got 10 players there. Lemuelu, Nikarima, Plath, Donaghy. Plath's coming back from suspension this week, so that's all right. Legler, Farnworth, Milford, Hammer, Kafusi and Gilbert, right? So Gilbert's done, but the rest of them will be back. So 9 guys to potentially come back from suspension injury. So look, Aiken's a worry.
All right, let's everyone remember this episode and we'll see where Aiken is at the end of the year because I reckon he's going to be there for a long time.
I like it. Mate, if you go with your gut and then we can roast you later, I love it. Andy Tran says...
I'm not getting on.
Andy Tran says, trading up Murray needs a solid captaincy option for the long term. Is Hines the best option or SJ? Nick?
Yeah, I don't think Hines is the best option. I think Yo is the best option. That's
exactly
the lowest
what I was
risk,
thinking.
Lowest risk option I can give.
I like it. I'd also have SJ above Hines, if nothing else, just for price point, right, guys?
And form, yep.
I like it.
Yep.
Okay, Discord. So you're going to hear some weird names. So Drew Yeatson says Hutch to Gus.
What?
So that's Drew Yeatson. Oh, I don't know. Yeatson says
Oh, Drew Yeatinson. Oh, yeah. Old mate.
Oh, fair enough. That's his real name. He's not just like put Yeet in there.
Yeah.
Us to Hutchinson to Gus. Yeah, that's great. Burbo to any half center under 726K, thinking deal bags, but I don't know. I do know, mate. Go get Dylan Brown. I'm getting in this week. Yep. He's the real deal.
Those are my two exact trades this week.
Love it.
Yep. I already had Gus, so I'm picking up Iro this week in that combo, yeah, nice. But that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Okay. R... says... G'day, lads. Is Waddell a goodbye? We've already been through that. And or will Boone will take 15 to 20? Yes, we think that he will.
Oh, yep. Good man.
Yep. Drew Yitzen also says, who predicted that no one would average over 70 this year? Yeah, it's real ugly. There's no standout studs this year for all of us to jump on, right, and just captain all year. Yeah, guys?
I like that, though. I like that.
I love the captaincy lottery that is every week. I'm just so glad. The only thing that has saved my season has been I had Haas and Cleary started the season going, oh, I'll be all right. Of course, both of them died in the ass.
The two guys on the face of the app.
That's it. Yeah. I'm thinking, look, I'll have the best captaincy and vice captaincy options. I'm going to gun it out. These guys are going to see me through. I'll keep them all year, right, through Origin. Neither of them made it through friggin', like, Cleary's still in my squad, but neither of them are captaincy material. So, but Paddy Carrigan absolutely saved the day. So I've been really enjoying him. And he really enjoying, like, as dumb as it sounds, when you're in the player, you watch them a little bit better. He's just a no-nonsense guy, right? Loves the occasional flop. He's basically Nathan Hindmarsh, who plays 13.
Yep.
M... says, with a more mid-heavy bench, does McInnes become a sell? And is it too late to jump on Dylan Brown? So I don't think it's too late to jump on Dylan Brown at 683K. I think below 700K, it's perfectly fine to jump on Brown. But guys, Belent, is McInnes a worry?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be selling him this week, but I certainly wouldn't be entertaining the idea of picking him up.
Mm. I'm just having a look because they've got a lot of guys coming back finally this week.
Yeah, I know they got Rudolph and BHU on the bench.
Yeah,
Talakai and Jack Williams as well. So yeah. 4 forwards.
Yeah, just watch. Just watch. If you got him, hold him. Don't buy him. Yep.
And look, you got Finucane back as well. I think that's when I'd look to be moving on from McInnes, right? Because they're both basically the same player in slightly different bodies. Short M with a weird R in there goes, isn't an origin risk for players like Hines and Ponga to make them avoids at their price? Look, I think just got to take your shot on those guys. Which one do you reckon is more likely to play Origin, guys? Ponga or Hines?
Ponga. He's been a top 4 or 5 player in the comp this year. And Origin's one of those things where you just got to put your best players in no matter what.
And man, Ponga always comes out guns blazing in Origin as well, right? I mean, I know that's a Queensland thing, but he always turns up.
Yep. Mm.
Yes.
Never let them down. Yep.
So I would say that, yes, Hines are probably the safe bets, but he's also dropping price, so I'd probably wait. Lydia asks, is Levi a must drop? So I'm seeing a lot of Levi sells. I'm not an owner, so I don't really know where it's at. Maybe just didn't get his base level try this week.
Well, you're an owner, aren't you, Blint?
I reckon he's a sell. I think his break even's like in the mid 30s. 32. Is it 27? Is it?
Yeah.
I'd just get rid of him.
He lost $1,000 last week. Yes, he stopped being a cash cow. You've made $100,000 almost on him. It's time to let Levi go to the stars because he's job. Yeah. The fact, if you told me that Danny Levi would come out with 4 tries in the first 6 games, I would have laughed at you. That's ridiculous.
And still only average 30.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, if he doesn't get a try next week, you're in a lot of trouble. All right, Broncos fan, yeah, good luck to you, mate. The only hooker is Lussick. I have SJ Fogarty and Galvin. He wants to trade Murray to Angus Crichton, Burbo to Iroh, and then he could go Flano to Grant as a head-to-head player. So really effectively, it's...
Egan.
You're thinking Egan is a buy.
He's a solid boy. I just love the Warriors, man.
Fair enough. He's got, I think, a 38 break even or something, and he's a bit of a pod there. So
just all of those guys that are just our spine just firing on all cylinders. You know what I mean? It's just wonderful to watch.
That's a 20 break even. 20 break even. So yeah he's at the right time of his price cycle. Yeah.
The only thing about Egan is that head injuries are part of his base.
Just injuries in general.
So, and look, Grant, as a head-to-head player, Grant's the safer one, but if you do want to make some cash and stun some of your colleagues, Egan has been looking very good, right? So
I think he's the form hooker of the NRL at the moment, myself.
I would not be mad if you played Origin. I would not be mad at all.
Oh, he'll do. You guys will probably win.
The only thing I'd say is you'd have to play McInnes then at 14 just to cover him for when he comes off with a head knock. So, mate, you know, he just does. It's just the way he plays. He tackles down low. He just often gets his head the wrong side.
No, and look, it's because the WAS pack's so good, he gets targeted in the line.
That's true. All right, let's go next one down. Max Johnson heading to Tola to Crichton. And so he's got 449K. So he's got a ton of money. And then he gets rid of Hutchinson. And he's got 899K. So he wants to get a proper captain. He's wondering whether to get Fogarty or SJ. So basically, he's just going Hutchinson to Fogarty or SJ.
SJ.
Yeah, I like SJ.
I think if it was head to head, definitely SJ. I just say it's actually really, really nice and refreshing to see someone who's actually like put some thought process in and given some options rather than just saying I've got this much cash, give me 4 players.
Mm. Yeah, we like your question, Max. It's very well put together. I didn't read it all out, but it's very well.
It really is. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I like SJ as well.
Excellent. Because look, we think Fogarty's good, but he's just, he's got zero attacking upside. So the only way he got the 80-point game last week was they played the full 90. Shuri Vasashek goes, is Ponga over or under 100 this week, smelling the first time of the season? He has absolutely towed up the Dogs, but the Dogs are different this year, aren't they, fellas?
Yep.
So I was reading the statistic the other day.
They got 12 on 13 as well for a few minutes this week, just like you were saying.
The only time they look good is when they get 13 on 12. No, just kidding. Yeah. But the thing I like about the Dogs is that they're saying that they're not controlling the ball very well. The halves aren't necessarily running the game, but they are coming first in number of tackles inside the 20 until they concede a try. So they've turned the tide defensively. And once you turn the tide defensively, you can work on attack. So I reckon that Ponga is not going to absolutely ream them as easily as he did this year. Plus, their centers this year, if you're looking at guys like Cherry and Steve Crichton, they are so much better and quicker than the centers from last year, right, guys? Where they just got cooked, got absolutely cooked around the edges and the center. So I would say that Ponga is less likely to get that 100. Reacher 316, Kia Ora Boys head to head. If cash generation is key, how do you determine who to sell a red dot versus a green dot who can lose you money. So, okay, let's good question, guys, this week. Just say you had Joe Chan, Blaze Talungi, right? And I know a red dot like Burbo. Who is selling?
I'd be selling Talungi of the three. I think Chan's break even's pretty, I think it's single digit. I think it's like 6 or 7 or something like that. But just with the roles, I'd probably be getting rid of Talungi first.
Yeah. But okay, so just say you got rid of Talungi first. Now you got one red dot, one green dot. Who are you getting rid of? Green dots might lose you money over the next couple of weeks. The red dot won't.
I'd still probably hold on to Chan this week just with the low break even and price, try and scrape out another 10K.
Yeah. I get you. I think it's one of those ones where, Shuri, if you can take the punt, I'm taking the punt on Talungi this week just due to the fact that I think that Morgan Harper's terrible.
Mm.
So that's what I'm doing personally. But
oh, so you're hoping that that Talungi is going to slot back into the center.
That's it. The only reason why you hold on to a guy who's losing.
Yeah. Sorry, I was wondering what. Yeah.
The only reason why you hold on to guys losing money is if you think that they will return to form.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why people have Piakura for like 4 weeks, right? Until he copped that knee injury is because he thought, oh, he'll turn it around. So,
yep.
CJ asks, Nick, he's finding it difficult to hold Murray as he's already holding Cleary and Piakura. So that's $2 million on the bench this week. Is there an argument for trading him so you don't have 20% of your cap sitting in emergency?
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand you wanting to trade. So, yeah, I'll just pick up Isaiah.
I like it. That seems to be the consensus we've come to on that one. I like it. CJ also goes, if I sell, needs a mid up to 700K without someone without a buy before 13 wants to save some money. So up to 700K. Well, that's Joe Tarpin, yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Nat Butcher got 60 last week, got subbed before Angus. Yep, Nat Butcher. Look, if you had a week, I'd get Sorensen or two. Morgan Smithy's pulled out another 60, which is surprising, but he's doing all right.
Max Plath, you mentioned before, is interesting.
I like Max Plath. Jamin Joliffe's the buy as well.
Oh, yeah. We haven't mentioned him at all.
No, we haven't. But he came off, and I was really cross this week because the Mole had Mo Fonawaker as prop of the week. I'm like, what about Jamin Joliffe, who basically killed himself, played for 67 minutes, scored a try, 54 tackles, 103 metres gained.
Yeah. What about the week when the Warriors absolutely smashed the Rabbitohs and he had like, Adam Reynolds as his halfback of the week over SJ?
Yeah. I hate them all. Anyway, but since Tino's done, his minutes are 58 and then 67 last week. There is on for extra minutes due to the overtime. So put him at 57, most likely. So he's playing close to 60 minutes. He might only average mid-40s. So I don't know whether Joliffe is the guy. What are we thinking here? Was last week an anomaly?
I don't know. Mark seems to be bringing up the team. Yeah.
I'm just having a look at him. Like, okay, so what's this What's this long term PPM there?
It actually looks like it's over one. Let me just.
If it's where are you looking? Front row and just anywhere. Yeah, you
just front row. Yeah.
Okay, long term PPM is around one, just under one.
Yeah, that's
okay. So in that case, if he gets 50 plus, right, there is points to be had there because he's priced at 44 or so.
Yep.
So there's money to be made there. So
look, and the PPM holds up when it's over 45 minutes, which is good.
Yeah, and he was never gonna get that with Tino there, but now with Tino gone for the season, yeah, it looks like he's priced at 43. You probably got 7 points of value there. I can see him as a 50 guy. What about you guys?
50 to 55,
yep. So look, 55.
Man, yeah.
55, yep. You'll make points. 50, I'm reckoning he's probably a pretty conservative one. So, yeah, he's probably worth a look.
They got some juicy games coming up as well, so there's going to be heaps of tackling.
That's what he seems to be good at. Yeah, looking there, Chris Randall as well has just been making a million tackles a game, playing at hooker there and playing a little bit of middle as well. He's been on the ground at the same time. Like, he played all 90 last week, so for 70 points. But then he got 27 and 70 the week before, so he's a bit up and down too. I think last week was probably just an anomaly game, right?
Yeah, you can't trust Chris Randall.
No. So looking through the rest, yeah, Max Plath is the one. When I was scanning through earlier, he interests me because he seems to got that 13 spot locked down. He's a bit of a nugget, plays hard. I reckon there's sort of 6, 7, 8 points worth of value there. And the weird DPP and their buy coverage is pretty hilarious. Anyway, someone's going to bake me over that, but anyway. have a look.
They've already played the bye as well. There's just like a few things going for him, right?
There are. Now, there's a lot of things not going for him, which is he's playing for Wayne and he's not an established name. So Wayne very much plays the man, not the ball. So, yeah, you know, he might just cut him at random at any time. That Morgan Smithies is actually, if you want safety, he seems to be getting close to 80 every week.
Yeah, he's been annoying to watch.
Yeah.
He's not a plotter.
That's a great call, Stu.
He's not a plotter. He's like a young, he looks fit. He looks fresh. He looks like he's got the Corey Horsburgh role, which is just that Ricky will flog him until he dies. He's getting the Cam Murray treatment without any of the talent. Yeah. Sorry, Morgan, if you're listening, bro. Yeah, but it's true. I kind of like Morgan Smithies. Is anyone not liking him? 600K?
DPP. Yeah, it's a good shout. It's just the Raiders question again. Like, Strange, Fogarty.
I've only got the one, so I'm not too fussed at this point.
Yeah, it's a good shout for a DPP. Yep.
Mm. All right. S dot to dot goes, would you rather have Chance and Chevy or Foran and Chester?
Look, Chance is so interesting. The debate of whether the better team and the RTS effect is having any impact on his scores. Depends what the expectations are. Like he was always like a 40-ish kind of guy. And last year, I think he was like a 45 kind of guy. Is he a 50 to 55 kind of guy this year? I just doubt it. So I think best case scenario is probably a mid to high 40s kind of guy. Unfortunately, if you don't goal kick or if you're not, you know, Kalen Ponga attacking, Tom Trbojevic, attacking wise, then I just don't think you're going to be a 50s type of fullback, let alone a 60 something type of fullback, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's very true. Like, yeah, if even Turbo's finding it hard to push, you know, 50, and he's looking fit. So I'd probably take Foran and Chester out of these two because at least you know you can bank on Chester. You've only got one risk. Whereas with Chance and Chevy, I think you've got one and a half.
Yep.
Okay. Drew Yedison says Chance or Dylan Brown. I'm saying Dylan Brown. Anyone disagree on that one?
Nope.
Okay. Spinning up a little bit. Pappy's Money Lunch Money is saying Burbo, Levi Talangi, Hutch. Yeah, I know. So, Burbo, he's got a number of players he wants to get rid of. Burbo, Levi, Talangi, and Hutchinson. So, he wants going, should he hold Talangi or Burbo? I'm holding Talangi just off hope. And hope alone. But I think that the smart long-term play is holding. I'll be honest with you. I'm seriously thinking this as I'm talking about it. You know Berber's going to come back and play. He's got the spot. They have absolutely cut Schuster out. The only issue is how long will Berber be out for, right, guys?
Yep.
3, 4, 5 weeks. So, and for people who have hold Piakura for a while, they know what holding a player who's out for 3, 4, 5 weeks is like. So,
yeah, but Burbo DPP, you know, he's still cheap. You've already made 100K on him.
And he's not dropping he's not dropping cash either, is he? So
no, not taking up much of your cap. Yeah. So
I'm seriously thinking about
loot. You got someone to loot with, exactly.
Yep.
I'm thinking about trading out telling. I think I'm convincing myself and keeping Burbo. Oh, save myself a trade later on this year.
What a change of events.
Oh, mate, it's good. All right. C dot 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 asks, he's trading at Levi Talangi and Finifuaki. Yes, to Angus Crichton, Iro, and Kieran Foran. Yes, great work, mate. Well done.
Yep.
A dot dot dot, 3 top sells out of Blaze, Burbo, Campbell, Hutchinson, and Levi.
Top three.
He's got 3 trades this week.
Hutchinson's number one, surely.
Yeah, I reckon Levi's pretty close behind.
And Campbell with a busted knee, because he already had another busted knee on the other side, which he had taped up, is probably...
Is there an actual timeline on
4
that?
4 weeks.
For a herky-jerky, janky sort of player, that's not good. Your knee's going. That is not good. Like, he's not a straight carry 3 guys on him. Like, he needs that lateral movement, right?
That's right.
When Paps did his knee... Oh, no, actually, no, that was a concussion. Never mind, forget that.
Mate, you're hilarious. Oh, you're cooked, mate. Okay, let's keep it moving. All right, yeah, look, I keep Blaze and Burbo out of them too. Are they them Hulk? It says head-to-head player. Don't have a clear captaincy option in the halves. Not risking putting this captain on Dylan Brown. So he's thinking Burbo, Blaze, and Murray for Iro, Chevy, and then SJ or Hines. Or he could do Burbo to Iro and Murray to Joliffe and put the captain on McInnes or Ponga. Mate, that's a lot of ins and outs there. Look, you can trade Murray for a premium guy. I think we've already talked to death about Yeo being another option in there. If you do need a half, SJ's probably the guy. So you could do that. Berber to Iroh and Murray to Joliffe. I'm not loving that because, like, Murray's just a superior player.
Yep.
I think if you're trading out Murray, you're trading to a keeper, right?
You have to. Or you're doing like what we talked about with Cleary, which is you're getting two cut price keepers, right? Somewhere out there.
Like that's Angus and someone else, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not like Joliffe and Iroh. You could be trading out next week. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, not. Oh, geez. If Iroh goes next week, a whole bunch of people are going to be crying in the DMs.
It'll be Talangi all over again.
Okay.
Did none of you guys get him last week?
No, I picked up Chester and Angus.
Oh, yes. Yeah, nice.
So, look, as far as price, I got an extra 21 points, so I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. Would you sell Flano to Chester? Nick, you've been the Chester man? And he's got four of the halves, Hines, Cleary, Brown, and Galvin.
Find someone else.
Yeah, that's probably me too.
He's got Hines, Cleary, Brown, and Galvin.
Mate, he's probably got his middles that probably like Bob, Bill, and Jane. I'm thinking with that theme, like, yeah, mate, you can probably sell Flano, but Flano's got some money to make. He's looked the best out of the cheapies halves, hasn't he? Another 43. Yeah,
I rate him. I just rate the impact he's having this year. He's doing really well.
And the Dragons are doing relatively well. I'm sad I missed out on Tom Eisenhuth, I'll be honest with you. All right. Next one. NZ James goes, hi, guys. Got 47K in the bank. What do you think of Berber to Iroh? I think we talked through Berber to Iroh, Levi to Chevy and Hutch to Brown. Yep, we've all said that's perfect.
Yeah, yep.
Yep.
That's pretty much what I'm doing this week, mate. That's perfect. He's also got Piakura, Campbell, and Murray as red dots. Would you eat any of them before Burbo, Hutch, and Levi? Probably not.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Probably not.
And he's in trouble.
Maybe Campbell before Burbo.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Maybe, yeah.
That's probably it. He's in trouble next week with three Bulldogs and Kraz, Hughes, and Salmon, plus Campbell and Piakura injured. Look, Piakura should hopefully be back next week. So you just got to trade a couple of guys next week. Like, just know that you've got 2 to 3 trades banked in. NZ James. Austin goes, favorite Disney song and why? This is because Mark was writing his podcast to Encanto this week and the soundtrack and whatever else. So favorite Disney song, Valent.
Is what about the song from Aladdin?
Which one? Prince Ali?
Nah, the real, the romantic
I'll
one.
Show you the world.
A whole new world.
There that's go. The one. Yeah, I hate that one.
What a great friggin' answer, dude.
Lion King is Disney, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yep.
Circle of Life.
There you go. Yep, I like it. How about you, Nick?
I might have to go with Out There. I need to do three. Out There from Hunchback of Notre Dame. Go the Distance from Hercules. No.
Oh, yes.
Son of a gun.
Go the Distance and Hercules Goes Hard. And also How Far I Go, Moana's pretty good too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that one. Look, I love The Hunchback of Notre Dame too. The one which I forget the name of the song, but the one that the Duke sings. Anyway, apart from that, I think you stole the other one, which is Out There, which is a beautiful
actually,
song.
What's the one from the Jungle Book?
Bare Necessities?
No, yes, that's the one. The one which Baloo's singing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, yeah, I love that song. What a great question.
Yep. Hellfire is the one that I like from Hunchback of Notre Dame, where he's basically talking about how, like, basically God's tempting him with this evil woman, and so he's going to kill everyone. It's just, like, hardcore, dude. Like when you're 12, you're like, whoa, that's a lot of emotion. Anyway, next one, F... Last one of the Discord questions. Does Schiller go to Newcastle give Chevy long-term job security? Nothing's long term with Ricky, but it certainly gives me a little bit more. MLS stated that Parnell will now turn to a wing as Ricky holds a grudge. Well, look, I guess it depends on how they do it, guys. Like, people can leave without grudges. They just got to do it in the right way by Ricky, which is almost impossible, but maybe not.
Yeah, mate, impossible.
Speaking of MLS, I just want to give a quick shout out to him because he absolutely nailed every single Raiders prediction that he had in the preseason. Like, he called the Ethan Strange to 6 real early on. He called the Savage wing. Savage was going to be on the wing, was never going to play fullback. That's also come to fruition as well. He said it wasn't going to be a matter of time before Schiller was going to end up playing. That's also started as well. And he also said that Merida was going to be a sneaky pot to start in the preseason. And he's made 100 and, well, he's made 90K. And now he's on the starting edge. So mad raps.
Yeah, well done, MLS. All right, we're into the Instagram questions. I'm going to put these ones through pretty quickly because there are so many. You guys are going nuts on the Instagram, which we love to see, by the way. Nick McMahon goes ranked 9099 right now, so sitting all right inside the top 10K by the skin of his teeth. He's making three trades this week. He will have 24 trades left. Well, mate, you're doing max trades, but it'll be Angus Crichton, Iron Harris in. That's Tohu, I'm guessing. Hutchinson, Mariner, and Totola out. That seems pretty slam dunk, doesn't it, fellas?
Yeah, 100%.
Jeez, two keepers and a cash cow. Yeah, catch you later.
Is Totola a yeet, by the way? With
broken
the,
foot, dude.
Yeah, so how many weeks is that? Like 6 to 8?
Six to eight, I believe, yeah.
With a 50 break even when he comes back, which
he's
pretty yucko.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, you know, in Braveheart, where the king is sort of talking to the guy, you kind of just come over here, look at this, and throws him out the window. That's what people should be doing with the Totola. Okay? Just straight out. Catch you later.
Oh, I got Totola. I'm in trouble. Yeah.
He's got it straight from the window, dude. Right? Straight into the courtyard.
Yeah.
Out of your team. Not anyway. Liam Blackmore. Who to partner in the halves with Fogarty? SJ, Hines, or Cleary? Would Liam, I think we've had SJ above Hines just due to clarity of role. Cleary obviously isn't playing, so it's at the moment it's probably SJ, right?
Yep.
Long term for the rest of the season, it will be probably with it. If Cleary's fit for the rest of the season, he will do better. If he gets injured a little bit more, it will be SJ. He'll be better for overall points. If Hines doesn't play Origin, it could be Hines who wins overall. So take your pick. Steve O. Robertson goes, he's looking to go Hutch to Angus. Yes. Burbo to Chester. Yes. Campbell to anyone 656K or under. I think we've talked about a few guys, right? So who would you go to, preferably mid? Are we suggesting Smithies? Even though it's like the ultimate non-PPM guy?
Yeah, Smithies or Joliff, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, that's... I'm just trying to think if there's anyone else. I'm just having a look at Smithies' match stats. No attacking stats. Like, you know, in the first column's like tries, try saves, you know, try assists,
no,
line breaks. Line breaks is nothing. Just average number of tackles.
Lots
almost no, only 5 missed tackles, right? And he's played a huge number of minutes. He's only missed 5 missed tackles all year. 708 meters game, likes a run. Yeah, Smithies is boring, but he's making the points. It's Gerbo 2.0.
Yeah, Dallas Johnson 2.0.
There you go. I like that reference. That sounds like a great option. Don't bring in CNK. Charlie M. Baxter says, on the pod last night, you guys said to avoid CNK. Well, we did too, so that's good. To me, he looks like a different player this year. So, Blent, is there a chance he moves away from his previous average, turns into gun keeper, wing fullback? He thinks that he's going to take the risk.
Oh, look, I don't hate the risk. I just think that, yeah, I agree with what Nick said before. Like, his average is going up in fives, and I think it's probably capped in the mid to maybe high 40s at best, which is probably still a step below your Paps, your Teddies, your Pongas, and your Turbos. So, I mean, he definitely does look different. He looks very RTS like from 4 or 5 years ago. Just like I haven't seen him play so much around the ruck before, and I think he's just getting more opportunities because of the way that Wade Egan's playing at the moment and just exploiting the defense from dummy half. But yeah, I think you're probably looking at high 40s at best. So if you want to take the risk, I won't talk you out of it, but it's probably not something that I'm considering at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The heart says yes and the head says no, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I just want to buy all the Warriors players, dude.
It's always good when the teams go well, mate. It's a nice feeling, eh?
Yeah, you'd know the feeling. I'm not sure about Nick, but yeah.
He had 2010.
You guys won last week, right?
We did.
There you go.
We get the ugliest wins now. God, Dragons wins suck. They're not. You can barely celebrate them. They're just.
But
shit wins.
They are. But that's what Flano gets. He doesn't care how you get wins, right? It's all dirty wins, right? I'm gonna stop there before I get sued. That's it. The other thing I'd say, my worry about Chance, they came off a thrashing of the Rabbitohs, right? Into a 90-minute slugfest against the Seagulls. And the reason why he ran for so much was his kick return meters were enormous. So he ran for 346 meters last week because he was kick returning for like some absolutely enormous meters.
But
so,
I don't think kick return meters has ever been an issue for him.
It hasn't, but I'm saying 346 running meters in a game, it's unlikely.
But, yeah, but no one's getting that consistently every week, right? Unless your name's Stephen Price.
Yeah, even Dylan Edwards wasn't getting that consistently, right? Like he's sort of in the 200s, not in the 300s.
Mm.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that Charns is coming off two bumper games. I wouldn't get too hyperfixated. They get a tougher run. They got a soft run, Dragons, Titans, Knights, and then they get ugly later on. Actually, next 3 weeks, he could go ham. Dragons, Titans, Knights.
Just that the team looks so good. That's the thing. They looked amazing, and then he's come back into a great team that's just gone James Fisher-Harris for Pete's sake. Like, seriously.
Oh, man. The rich get richer. I'm so rock hard for that. Like, honestly. honestly.
It should be good.
Just drop AFB and just get JFH, and yeah, no worries. In you come, mate. In you come.
That's it. No, straight upgrade to the squad. Sad loss for the Panthers, but it happens. Like, you can't blame a guy who's delivered that consistently for you for choosing to leave, right?
Yeah, and he's been so good for you guys as well, right?
Exactly. Like, it's not like he's ever been short on effort, so I think that's why they've done it. When he asked for it, they're like, well, look, you've probably done a lot for us. Like, he played in that 21 grand final with basically half a knee, so, and we just got over the line.
If you guys get Stefano, you'll be stoked with that, surely, right? He's young, like, he's an absolute weapon.
Yeah, but it's only... But he's only available at the end of the year. That's the thing. It's only if the Tigers don't make the eight, and they'll only know that round 27. So really hard to do a deal with him.
You reckon they're going to make the eight?
No, I just reckon that they might be in the running to the eight until the last round or two of the season.
Ah, gotcha.
So he won't be free to negotiate. Anyway, but we'll take a look. Anyway, moving on through the questions, who to bring out of Hines, just to clear if his name before we've been through that one. James Motovic goes, Hutch to Gus, Bourbon or Chester. Yep, well done, mate. Mark Vayner goes, what would you do to fund Hutchison to SJ? Okay, Nick, would you downgrade Cheese to Lussick? Downgrade Cheese or Lussick to Chester, or would you downgrade Flanagan to Chevy Stewart?
Yeah, I'd downgrade Flanagan to Chevy Stewart. I think Lussick and Cheese are too important for your buy coverage for Origin, to be honest.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're the
how can you be thinking about trading out Lussick and Cheese coming off of 52 and a 65?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chasing SJ points. NRL enthusiast says, hey Amateurs, thoughts on Talangi to Chester and Burbo to Waddell. Already got Angus and Iroh. Blent, this one's for you, mate.
Yeah, I don't know about Waddell. I'd be looking elsewhere. I love the Hutch to Crichton.
It's got Talangi to Chester and Burbo to Waddell.
Talangi to Chester, yes. Burbo to Waddell, yeah. I can't advocate for.
It's not a bad. It's not a bad trade in the sense that you just flip them back when Burbo's back. You know, it's a bit like NBA. You sort of just buy the whole depth chart in a position, so you're sweet. You know, like
yeah. All right, Cashers goes C and K buy. We've already just spoken about that. HK Chef is talking about Levi Hutch and Talangi out. Yeah, I think we've talked about that a million times. Iroh Chester, Gus Crichton in. That's an absolute slam dunk, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, slam dunk. Who are the top Yeats out of Murray, Levi, Burbo, and Hutcho? Well, it's obviously Levi, Burbo, and Hutcho. Like, I'd keep Murray or up, unless you can upgrade Murray, as before we talked about, right, fellas?
Yep.
Nick, the Ruck Infringement podcast is looking at Murray to Tola to Tohu and Barnett.
No. So, if I'd hold Murray and I maybe go to Tola to, because I've got the same problem, same headache. Give me a sec. I haven't worked out a proper Jolliffe. God, that's gross. I might have to do it though.
Smithies
or Jolliffe. Yep, one of those two. Yep.
Yep. Jolliffe has had the bye. That's the only advantage.
Yep. I was gonna say the exact same thing.
Sorry, Valencia, cool. Steel Thunder, dude.
No, it's all good, man.
Well, you get the next question. Charles Durham goes, has 1.25 million to play with. Hell Cleary, who does he grab? What have you been doing, Charles? But anyway, answer the Valencia. Who does he get?
Get Yo.
I like it.
Love it.
Easy.
Or Hopgood, but yeah, I'd be getting, yeah, get Yo. He's had the bye.
Easy. Connor O'Crane, Yeet Lich out of Hutch to Tola. We've had this a few times. Burbo and Murray. Has to be to Tola at the top and Hutchinson, and then Burbo, unless you can upgrade Murray. Murray is not a hold if you're looking to downgrade. Is a hold unless you're looking to upgrade. That sounds better. Max Montgomery goes Murray, Hutch, and Burbo to Crichton, Angus Crichton. Brown and Chester, leaving with them 100K. Nick, what do you think about that one?
Yep. I put the trigger on that. Yep.
Mm. Yeah, getting Crichton and Brown seems like unless you're getting two guns.
Three long-term keepers. Yep.
Yep, that's it. Or even if Brown's a sell at some point, there's at least 100K and a whole bunch of good scores.
Yeah, Hutch and Burbo can't probably get you. No, I think Hutchin Burbo might just get you to Crichton and Chester if you don't want to do the Brown thing, but you guys are pretty high on Brown, so I suppose it's a good move.
He's been scoring pretty well.
I'm not as high as you guys, and there's an end date there which I don't love, but that's just me personally. I don't like buying guys with certain end dates, you know.
Does he
have an end date though?
Well, doesn't he go back to like a high 40s guy, early 50s guy, not a high 50s guy?
Yeah, I still think. Like you take the points and you take the. He's pretty good through the buys as well, isn't he? So
yeah,
and then you hope Moses plays Origin. You laugh.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Or hopefully tears his calf as well. That'd be nice.
Oof. Mm. Oof. Jake versus Jake. What's the ideal amount of trades to have left entering the buy rounds? The major buy rounds. I want to say 16.
Yeah, minimum. Yep.
Yeah, minimum.
Well, because remember you get the extra 8. I'm round 20 and they open up.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
After Origin. So
you get to use 4 trades, injuries, so you can get through 16 pretty quickly, right?
You can. Yeah. So that's what I mean. You end up using about 12 of those to see your way through the buy rounds minimum if you're prepared well. So, mate.
Which no one is. This is crazy year.
Oh, it's an ugly year.
I think 16 to 18 is fine.
Yep.
That's it. It's why you're not training out the guys who play 13 and or 14, fellas, like if you don't have to. So like people are like, oh, get rid of Carras. It's like, just stop it.
Yeah, it's such luxury. Yeah.
Oh, mate. And like some of these guys.
Stupidity, aren't they? Yeah.
That's it. Oh, he's priced at 40 and he's only going to make, he's only going to be worth 40. It's like, just leave him alone.
I think we're going to find ourselves making most of our trades for the first two buy rounds as well, right? Just because round 19 is absolute like HIV.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. It's gross. Okay, Beto John O'Dwyer is saying, how long do us clear holders keep holding him? Hopeful for round 8 isn't very promising. Should we sell for Hines? I think we're saying don't sell for Hines because Hines has less clarity over his role. But look, Cleary is a week-to-week thing. If you have no issues, you can sell him. Sell him to fund two keepers for you. That's fine. Or sell him to, make some money elsewhere. But so many people have different issues in their squads, right? Why are we worried?
Yep.
Okay, let's speed up a little bit more. Ken Yongs is going, should get rid of Murray. We talked about a while. Yes, it is too late for Carrigan. Okay, Jamie Alley says, went Rapana to JC last week. Who should move Jaden Campbell to this week? I think we talked about Chester a number of times, guys.
Yep.
And AJ Brins is probably just we want to see 1 week from what he looks like as a half.
Yep.
Is Murray, K-Man 2-689 says, is Murray to Barnett a good trade? I think we just said no.
No.
Excellent. Lance Saggers says, going to trade Hutch to Burbo, Chester to Crichton. Nick?
Yep. Perfect. Yep.
Yep. I like that.
Perfect. Yep.
Hayden Keeley 8 says, Krez, now a sell being on the wing. I'm going to say no on that one as an owner.
Yep. I don't own him.
Wait a week or two.
Yeah. I don't own him and I wouldn't be selling him.
Only thing I'd say is I reckon Krez will stay on the wing because Zeri looks so fast on that center position.
He looks so quick.
So
and, like,
quick.
Good hands too. But he looked terrible in the preseason.
He looked terrible. He's finally, they've sent him back to learn how to pass to his outside man, which he wasn't to Carras. But no, him with Josh Adokar and Kikau on that wing, like take Burton out of it, right? When Kikau, because he threw the pass a couple of times, right? But as far as when those three were running, Kikau, Carras, and Josh Adokar, they were just annihilating that edge. Yes, and that was the storm.
They were giving them early ball too, just to cook. Yeah.
Oh, just gross. And I would say that Carras is probably going to stay in the wing, but Carras is also getting those run meters back and he will still get those junk offloads. Like 55 against the Storm, no tries on the wing. We've got to be happy with that, right, fellas?
Yep.
100%.
And Steve Crichton knows how to pass the ball for a try, unlike a lot of the other centers in the game. Next one. The Beardman is asking, hey, lads, Flanagan's next three matchup being Wars, Roosters and Sharkies. Has this cash cow been milked? Nick, you're saying no.
Not yet. I think it's a bit more.
Yep, I think 550 is where I want to hop off that train. Evan Mitch, so Belent, is he this? Totola, Hutchinson, Berber, Talangi, Levi. I think we've done this before, haven't we?
Yep.
Most injured to, like, it was what? Totola, Hutch, Levi.
Yep.
Bourbon to Langy at your own risk, correct?
Yep, yep.
Okay, well, I'll ask you an actual question for this one, Balint. Dan Stegremen is asking, looking at Bourbon to Chester, Campbell to Crichton.
Yep, slam dunk.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, a lot of these guys we've already answered, so that's why if you don't hear questions, because we've already answered it, like, effectively. But things like Ava Mariota, Sase Smiles, I think you've already talked him up, Balint, right? Like, as a genuine play.
Yep,
this week.
I think, yep, I like it.
Yep, he's certainly like a nice little pod to get in this week. Like, he's not very well owned, but he's starting. And while guys are starting, you got to enjoy that. Okay, Balint, proper question. Your thoughts on Tohu?
I've been saying he's a buy for the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Up to 762K, still a buy. Coming off of 69.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I can't either. You're in big minutes.
They're pretty thin in the middle, so just gets a bit more milkshake at the moment. Yep.
Well, we've
Jazz went off, didn't he, this week?
And he's gone, and on our bench at the moment, we've got two utility backs. So I imagine that'll change, but in our reserves, we don't really have many mids there either. So you just got to assume that Tohu's playing 80 again.
Mm. Yeah, or at least 72 like he did last week, plus the extra 10.
Yep.
Yeah, so like 70-plus Tohu's an absolute buy. Jeez, I wish I had him. All right, Geordie Walker with NC question, Bo, about the most urgent yeats, like everyone else. Keep Chris. Richard 64, Hutch to Egan. So look, Hutch to Egan's a bit spicy, right?
Very spicy.
And what's Egan's price?
663 from memory.
633. Oh,
that's 633 sounds way better. It's only 30k.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, I'd get him over JMK or Little.
Oh yeah. Much better.
They're the only other two that are around that price bracket.
Yeah, and Appy's a little bit.
Hookers, was that is, yeah.
Yeah, I'd almost say not Appy.
They don't synergize perfectly in that they're both available round 16, but they're both not available around 19. So it just means you got to work out another hooker option for round 19. That's the only problem.
Mm. Egan could be a nice little stepping stone towards someone else, I think, if he doesn't end up being a keeper.
Yep.
I like that. Okay.
He's missing less tackles as well at the moment. Sorry, just to try and crack on, but I think Egan's missing less tackles at the moment. So yeah.
He's sort of the first guy in, and then you've got like Tohu and Barnett coming in over the top with a lot of those tackles, so I'm not sure if that's why.
Mm. Like it. All right. Let's have a look. Tony Martin is the group question he's got here, which I wanted to ask you guys, right? Kai Pierce, Paul and Gutho, are they bias?
I think KPP is. I'm not sure about Gutho.
Agreed.
Yep. So we're still thinking KPP at 650 is still a buy. Like, as essentially moving towards that 700k keeper.
Well, I think he's going to be a keeper. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot.
Okay. Would you take KPP or Brown this week? And guys, gut check.
KPP.
I would too. Yeah.
Easy. I'm now rethinking my life about that too. Moving on. Okay, Mark OG is going, shouldn't ask this, should be looking at Campbell to Foran, mate. As we said, he literally has lottery office on his shirt for Foran. So, mate, you're going to absolute casino on that one. Wave Rose goes, a lot of money in the bank. He's looking to go Murbo to Angus, and he's looking to trade Murray to Yo, Harris, McInnes, Hopgood. I think we're saying that yes to a guy like Yo. Angus and Yo is a pretty good... Angus Crichton and Yo is a pretty good combo to have in your team. My goodness. Thoughts on Bradman Best, sub 500k. Knights have a soft schedule coming up, fellas.
Oh, you were talking about him last week, weren't you?
Certainly was coming, and then he finally turned up, 55 points.
It was only a matter of time, wasn't it?
It really was. He's turned his break even around. Next five.
He's 490. So cheap.
Next five. Bulldogs, Dolphins, Warriors, Tigers, Titans.
Oh my God.
Plays 13. Assuming he doesn't play Origin, which he may or may not, because remember, we got Turbo and Latrell fit this year and Steve Crichton.
I think they'll play Crichton and Best in the centres. I think that's who.
And Tago too.
Josh Morris picked Bradman Best and Stephen Crichton as the centres in his mind. And I think he's a good eye for centres, you know.
That's so true.
Where's Turbo playing? Just not on the team.
Wing. Fullback, probably.
Fullback.
Wing fullback, yep.
But if he does play, he's got the Bulldogs round 13, and then he plays 19 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty. That's handy.
Look, he'll either he'll either project you to somewhere. Look, I do not mind picking up Best as a buy this week. Even
to a lesser extent, he plays 14 as well. You know, so like if you've got for some reason if you've got like Origin centers, I don't think he would, but he's there as well. So
His career average against the Bulldogs is 93. He's only played one game.
What did he get, four?
he got four that game. He just annihilated them, absolutely annihilated them. Mate, we don't mind at all. I'm a Bradman Best lover.
If he plays Origin, then he misses 12 and 13, which sucks.
If he gets Origin, so yeah, that's kind of like Ponga too, though. Like you just got to eat it.
Yeah, but you would. Anyway,
you'd have to sell. So you miss 12 and you sell. Okay, to Toller and. Nmutter asked Jens to Toller to Angus, yes. Hutchison to Joliffe. I think we've both talked about that. Oh, he's saying they're both locked in. So is it Berber to Chevy or Campbell to Chester? I think it's Campbell to Chester, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chester looked really good. He looked quick. With Campbell out, he's got no cover at wingback. Good options at the upside any price. He's got Paps and Ponga. I think we've already talked about Chester just now. So we're almost near the end, boys. Ben Vicio, Belent. Should I trade in a gun this week like Drinky, Manu, or Tohu, or bank cash for next week and go to Chester? Not desperate for points, but kind of wants to move on from Elliot next week.
I think he knows the answer there. I think the latter option makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
It's a long race.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. Frizy asks, hey guys, 783, trade out Burbo. So you can either bring in Fogarty, even though Fogarty is a buy in 2 weeks. Or you can save cash for Cleary and bring in Waddell or someone different like Harrison K. Grant. Who would you be bringing, Nick? 783.
Does he have Angus?
I'm guessing so. He probably would.
Okay, I'd prioritize Angus Crichton number one and just bank even more cash and just roll it over. So, no, I wouldn't bring in Fogarty this week. I think you're sort of paying.
I think you're buying high. Yeah.
Yeah, you're paying towards the peak. I'm just scrolling. Look, I don't like any of those options.
The only one I like is Grant because, you know, you've only got those three games.
It's Harry Grant.
Yeah, it's Harry Grant. He's a stud and you just park him there all year.
Yep, I think that's the only option out of the ones he's presented that I like.
Or Tohu. Tohu's all right too.
Yeah, because he's saying Dylan Brown. Go down Dylan Brown.
That's true. I like that one.
Yeah, I like Dylan Brown as well.
Okay. Jeffers, Bills, Belent, Kuda captain, potentials of Fogarty, Dylan Brown, KPP, Ponga, or McInnes.
Ooh, Fogg's been super consistent. If you want consistent, I'd probably go him. If you want a bit of spice, go Dylan Brown.
You want ultra spice, go Ponga against the Dogs.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could do that roller coaster again. That was just too much.
You've captained a lot of fullbacks recently, dude.
Hey, no, this week with Ponga and that hip issue and the 27 in the first 10 minutes or something.
Oh, you thought you were on your way to like 700.
Yeah, so did I. I captained Ponga. Yeah. I was in dreamland.
No, but I was having a heart attack. You know, I think you made another dumb decision.
With the hip flexor.
Oh, yeah, it was ecstasy. And then it was bloody, oh, God, hangover. God.
Yeah. Oh, you still got to 70, though. That was fine.
Yeah, it was good. Worked out well. Just like we planned.
Look, Jeffers, I'd worry about McInnes this week with all those forwards on the bench. So I'd really go...
KPP might not be a bad shout as well, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. He'll be up against... Who's the right edge? He'll be up against Salmon.
That's feeding time.
That's ultra spice there. Fogarty's safe, and then we've talked about all the spicy options. Don't do McInnes. I am Nathan. JF is looking at going Hutch to Angus. Yep, go good work. Berber to Stewart, that's fine. Murray to SJ, yep, I think that's good. Or I could trade at Talangi to someone. Yeah, look, mate, I'll probably trade at Talangi first before trading at Murray. But Murray to SJ is not the worst move ever made. As I said, Murray to Yeo is an even better trade.
Yep.
William Kadir. Last one for you, Nick. Finifuaki to Foran Waddell or Talangi to Stewart as a third trade?
What about Talangi to Foran?
I think he's got less money. It's essentially it's like near cap. He's only got like 40K by the look of that. Finifuaki's 380, Waddell's 420.
Look, I just bank the trade. I mean, Will's the winner, so I can't really say anything to him.
Yeah.
I'd bank the trade personally.
Just hold.
Out of the two, if you really wanted to go somewhere, go to Langley to Stewart, I'll be honest with you. Finifuaki.
Yep.
He's at least going to play this week. He's a starter.
leave him alone for a couple of weeks. Let him grow into a guy that you might be able to sell for someone who's half decent, because there are so few sub 350k options, all right? I think we're going to run into an issue real soon where the cash down options are going to dry up for everyone.
Yeah, but okay, let's say Stuart hits a 40 this week. He's going to be like 275k and he can still make that Talangi to Stuart trade next week.
So he's just lost the opportunity to make 40 grand. He's making the trade a week late.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but then Stuart might also just like get another 26 and you'd be like, cool, I'm glad I didn't get him. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Yep.
So take your hit point on that one, mate, or give us the advice, I guess, Will.
Yep.
All right, that's the end of the questions, guys. That was 10 pages worth of questions for everyone at home here. All right, we put them all down. That was a lot. Any final thoughts there, Belen?
I've got my Warriors Anzac jersey coming tomorrow, and I'm super excited for it. That's all I've got to say. Up the Waz.
It's a great one. I love it. How about you, Nick?
Yeah, I think, do you guys have a quick Anzac jersey review?
Sure. Hold on. NRL Anzac jerseys. I love it when people can hear me Googling. what are we looking at? Yeah, okay. Who do you reckon is the best one?
I'm biased, but I reckon that Warriors one is straight fire.
Is there a place where I can see them all at once?
Just Google NRL Anzac jerseys 2024, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right. Have a look here. Look, the Warriors one does look good. It looks very busy, right? It looks good with the fern across it, and the bluish purple's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's way too much happening. That's crazy.
It's a lot happening in that shirt. And the sun.
What are you talking about?
It looks like the one New Zealand is like a nuclear bomb going off.
It's just like, it's like a portal. It's an inferno.
It still shits on the Tigers one, right?
With that one. Hold on. The Dolphins one from last year looks like there's like a road running down the middle. It looks like a weird eye picture. Having a
Panthers one's pretty solid, just like a simple grey one.
Actually, Panthers one's quite good.
Is
Eels one's pretty boring.
Yeah, it's like, who did that? Yeah.
It just looks like an Eels jersey, right?
It does, yeah, with some lines on it. Yeah
the Broncos one. The Broncos one's not great either.
The Bunnies ones are like white and blue and all over the place this year. It doesn't even look like a Bunnies jersey.
Oh, yeah. Nick, have you seen your guy's jersey this year?
It's pretty solid. I don't mind it.
You reckon?
The 2024, the front of it looks nice. It's not as good as the one that you've got, Nick, with like the poppies as the V.
Yeah.
This one kind of looks like a floral arrangement.
Yeah, it sounds nice, that one. No.
It's very snow whitish kind of vibe anyway. I'm just being real critical about
This is super quality because the people at home have no idea what we're talking about. They're in the cars going, what the
fuck? No.
We haven't described any of them.
I'm going to post about it.
Okay, excellent. Fair enough.
The Dolphins one's pretty solid. It's like, is that the road one you're talking about, Stu?
It's the one, it looks like a magic eye painting. I know, I don't read it, but you could. it looks like one of those perspective things, like maybe you squint and you see like a dog or something. Like,
oh, the Storm one's disgusting.
They do not deal well.
That is gross.
The Canberra one, they've just got some camouflage, some green camouflage, and just slapped it on.
That's a bit of a weird one, the Souths one, the 2024 as well, isn't it?
Actually, the Panthers one's pretty nice.
Which is strange, because we haven't had many good ones over the last few years, like, I'll be honest with you. Like, they've been pretty average here. That's awful. It's the Dazzle camouflage for the, oh my goodness. The Toyota forklift camouflage is amazing for the race. Boys, they just need to quiet down the logo every once in a while, like in the center. I understand that they pay like huge money for it, but it kind of like, they sacrifice themselves for Kia. Like, the mighty points bet. Like, just
Korean cars. Yeah,
that's it. Anyway, well, look, boys, Nick will get something up with our expert opinion on that once we get to see them all. And we'll let you guys fight it out in the comments if there's any better ones this year.
I love feedback on this. This is one of my children.
It's a good one. It's a good subject.
Unnecessary ratings of jersey.
We should probably rate them 1 through 17 just to annoy everyone.
Oh, we should, yeah.
Not just top three. Okay. We got to absolutely towel up some of these, like the Storm one. Anyway.
Yep. Oh, Storm 17 already, right?
I know the Cowboys one looks pretty good too. Like, they've just taken the background of a stock image.
Anyway, look, on that note, guys, look out for that post. This is the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Questions Collaboration 2024 signing out.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.